Damn.
Here come old fat balls the light. Necco wafers. Slow down, Andy. Don't you hurt yourself.
Give it to me, sugar, like only you could. Bring it here, mama.
Oh, baby, you know what I like.
Fries on the rise.
Understand shame on you.
Christmas, I love
you. Away, yeah, fuck you. Let's pot tonight. Come on, baby, let's pot tonight.
Wow. Oh, jeez. My goodness.
Yeah, that was great.
Wow.
Even an unreleased one in there that I detected. That was a surprise.
It
was a ninja surprise. Although that wasn't it, but it was nice to hear.
Wow. Well, welcome to Pot of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting, brought to you by Blue Microphones. They look great. They sound even better. And it is the official, as we're recording this, the 10th anniversary of Pot of Thunder. Unbelievable. Can you believe it?
No.
That just... two minutes and 18 seconds that Nick put together took me back, boy. Took me back. Good enough to bring a tear to your eye. Woo. I don't know what to say. I could say this. Nope, I can't say that. Anyway, welcome to the program. Here we are.
Not bad, Nick. Not bad, Nick.
There you go. Not bad, Nick. Yes. Welcome to Pot of Thunder. It's your buddy Andy, America's little brother.
Andy, you produce the show. Every week, you play the drops we love you so. Andy, you're so crazy.
Yes, it's your buddy Andy, America's little brother. I can't put a finger on that one.
You can't either, Nick.
Yeah, I didn't know it either, actually.
I'm sure the listeners know. The people lurking on the recording can chime in on the comments. But that's Candy, Iggy Pop, and Kate Pearson.
Okay.
Remember that song?
I do not.
You don't?
No.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it.
What year?
1990.
Yeah. Well, let's take a... a moment. Let's prepare ourselves for what we're about to see. As always, here he comes. Oh. Polka dancing his way across the podcast studio. Nick Bullock has entered the program. There he is. Look at him go.
That's worth lurker access on its own. I'll say it every week.
Sorry, I hit your face.
That's all right. I didn't need that eye.
One of these days, I'm going to have to move that guitar out of the way before he knocks it over. That wouldn't be a good thing.
That would be the end of the show.
I have to relocate that thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to restrict Nick in any way.
Or I could just stay back over here.
Well, people like it when you come.
You set a precedent. You know.
Mm-hmm. When you approach the camera like that, it's like...
Yeah, you can't do that once and then never do it again.
Yeah, that's what people want.
Okay.
Well, Nick Pollock has entered the program. He's got a beverage in a tall, skinny can. What is that? Pink lemonade?
It's something that was gifted to me by our buddy Rich.
Oh.
It's a kombucha, however you say that. A strawberry lemonade with packed with probiotics.
That's like a fermented beverage of sorts that has loaded with probiotics.
Is it from the Richie Valens brand by chance? Or
could be. Well, and to Nick's immediate left, you want him, we got him.
I can have it every day, yeah, yeah. I can have it. Get out of my way, yeah, fuck you.
Yes! Put your hands together for the breakout star of the podcast medium. That is Chris L.
Mm-hmm.
This is Pot of Thunder on our 10th anniversary, and it's still...
Oh, my.
Month long.
It is.
Yeah. So, wow. 10 years. Oh my gosh. I know we've kind of been talking about it over and over and over again, but here we are on our 10th anniversary. Yep. Nick's got something in a bag. No foil today. Nick's got a baggie. Are you going to toss it?
Tossing it.
Ah!
Physical.
Is that mine?
That's yours, yeah.
Is it baked?
Not technically, but...
Is it fried?
It's fried.
Well,
close enough.
Who wants to eat
fried?
Oh. Who wants to eat baked cakes with
fried
me?
Cakes.
So, when we started this podcast, all we needed was... No, I'm just... when we started this podcast, I remember bringing a box of Munster donuts. Mm. I think it was the first
vaguely
session.
Remember that, yeah.
And then we called the studio Throat Donut Studio.
We did.
Yeah.
So I made little munchkins. They're they're not sour cream because we didn't have any, so we used some honey vanilla yogurt instead. Mm. And it's a mashed potato donut.
But what the hell?
A couple of munchkins.
Mashed potato donut.
Yeah, mashed potato is in the... In the dough for it.
Did you try this before you brought it over?
I tried it. My wife and I tried them earlier just to see.
Mm-hmm.
We enjoyed them quite a bit.
Is there an indentation of Mendoza's cock helmet in these mashed potatoes?
This
referenced it. It's a Pot Against Humanity card, apparently. I'm trying to remember which episode.
If I were a notary public, I would probably have access to that kind of stamp, but I don't.
Is that the secret ingredient?
So
glands lint. I don't know. Just me. Are you guys trying it?
Well, Chris is finishing his second one right now.
Oh, Chris is wolfing them down over there. Okay. Well, you know, we might as well just keep
There's mashed potato in here?
Yep.
Yeah, you can't even taste it.
Loaded. Can't even taste the shit. Let's play a clip, a 10th anniversary clip.
Oh, sure.
Next one that comes up here is from Michael Mancini. Oh, yeah, here we go.
Bob strikes 10, it must be Monday night. A decade of stupidity, but that's all right. Listen to Pound of Thunder tonight. Leave us a voice message tonight.
Andy, Nick, Chris, this is Mike Mancini. Just want to wish you guys a happy 10th anniversary with Pot of Thunder. Always appreciate the content. You know, even when you're listening to some, you know, subpar music like Everclear, it's still entertaining. It makes my Mondays better. So I do appreciate that. So quick story about how I got into Pot of Thunder. So back in around, I think 2018, I was doing a summer internship and I was doing a lot of filing and boring work, stuff like that. So I want a podcast to listen to and I ended up stumbling across you guys. And the first episode I listened to while I was at work was Kiss Never Enough. And at some point in the song, Chris suggested that they edit a clip of Brian Sherwood into the song. I did not know who Brian Sherwood was, and you know, didn't really understand the sound clip. But out of curiosity, I googled his name on my phone on the company network.
That's not a good idea.
quickly figured out he was a pornographic actor, and a very awkward conversation with the IT guy for the company ensued. I kind of got yelled at for looking that up. So
find out if that's true.
Not you live and take learn. Responsibility
Anyways,
for that.
I appreciate the content. Keep doing what you're doing, and peace out.
Wow, thank you, Michael.
I was actually going to say the only thing missing from the opening montage. Well, actually, there were two. Would be the Sherwood Echo. And the bull mashup should have been in there. Mm. Other than that, unassailable. Those just happen to be two of my favorite clips that I've been listening to a lot lately.
The bull mashup, huh?
Good one.
I don't remember that one.
The Sonic Youth.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That was a funny one.
You know that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
So
we have a guest.
We have a guest.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on a second. Let me see if I can access our Ring doorbell from here. We have a guest from here?
Yeah.
Hold on a second. A guest.
I don't know if you notice.
Wasn't prepared for this guest. There's a guest?
That there's a Dickie in the room.
Oh, my gosh. It's the only one I have.
That works.
I don't have the other one. But hey, Dr. Nick is back for the first time in how many years?
Oh, many.
Wow.
I'm here on this occasion because I figured out, I've diagnosed you guys, I believe. I think I've nailed it down.
Hang on a second. So it's gone from you diagnosing the artist to you diagnosing the guys in the room.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I've climbed those mountains.
Okay.
Then when I got to this Everestonian task in front of me,
yeah,
I finally, I think, have nailed it down. I've diagnosed the treatment. I have no idea. That's going to take me another 10 years.
Yeah.
But I think I have it. Okay. There's a condition. Mm-hmm. The German word for it is Witzelsucht.
I think I had some of that for dinner tonight.
Well, I believe you guys have a healthy dose of that. I will elaborate here. It's a rare neurological disorder characterized by the tendency to constantly make puns or tell inappropriate jokes or pointless stories in socially inappropriate situations.
And there's only a German word for this? There's no English word? Is that right?
Well, I mean,
or is there an English word as well?
No, not to my knowledge.
Germans.
Witzelsucht.
There's no need for it anywhere else other than Germany and in this room. I guess.
I've been listening every week for 10 years, and that's the only diagnosis that makes any sense.
Well, I don't know why we have that issue. The Germans, it makes sense, but I don't know why we have that issue. I don't know if we've had as much trauma and as much shame in our past. Maybe that's what it is.
Plenty more in our future, I'm sure.
Oh, it's endless. It's not going anywhere.
So,
shame.
So I'm going to leave now.
All right.
I'm going to go work on the treatment now.
Okay. All right.
I'll be back.
Man, you do that.
At some point.
Dr. Nick, you do that.
We'll see you in a little while. I don't remember what the reason was for the...
I don't even remember. Oh, that's what it was? Yeah. Okay.
Must have been World Cup or something.
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah. Wow. So here we are. We got our treats. We're ready to go. It's Chris's pick from the random
list. That is correct.
Okay. Are we doing random or you got something special planned?
Oh, no. Random.
Okay. Well, then. All right.
Where are we up to on the list? How many submissions? We've had some new patrons join the fray.
679.
It's not bad.
Yeah. From, let's see. Give me a second here to get to the top. From 38 Special to ZZ Top. So, we'll see where we land. Maybe one of those. Probably somewhere in the middle.
Ticonderoga.
I don't know if that's on the list.
Oh, man.
It should be on the list, but all right. Nick.
Yes.
Hit that sports machine. We got number 361. 361 has been sent over to Chris. Chris is mulling it over. Chris is thinking.
I'm going to hopper this one.
Okay.
But, yeah. At the worst case scenario, we come back to that one.
Okay. All right. Well, since we're hoppering it, Nick, give it another slap. All right. We got number 555. Let's see what 555. What is it going to be?
555.
Okay. Interesting. I'm typing it to you now. Okay. Chris has it. Let's see what he thinks.
Normally I would hopper that, but because of the first hopper one, I'm just going to straight up Bushwick that one, but it's a pretty good one.
Wow, but it's being Bushwick. Yeah.
I just want to take that out of the mix, but I'm not Bushwicking it because I don't like it. It's just not going to measure up to the first one for me tonight. So.
Okay. Well then, Nick, once more.
Thank you.
Very nice. Very nice. Dinner's done. We got number 421. Okay, let me type this one over to you. And we will be on our own.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to the first poll.
First okay. one, huh?
But before we do that, I got a hit on the year 555, so hit it!
Habemus papam!
Time for poll stuff. Yay, that poll stuff. Here's some poll stuff.
Okay, so here's, in my estimation, the coolest Pope name yet. Nick, I'm sure you're familiar. Actually, you want to guess who might have been Pope in the year 555?
The coolest Pope name yet.
It's an interesting one.
No, it's not. I can't, I mean, Anacletus. I think it's an earlier one.
It's not correct, yeah. But here we go. June 7th, 555, Pope Vigilius.
Oh, okay.
Pope Vigilius dies at Syracuse on his journey back home. His body is brought to Rome and buried in the San Martino ai Monti. Syracuse, of course, not being the city in upstate New York, but a historic city on the Italian island of Sicily. The capital of the Italian province of Syracuse. I did not know there was such a thing. So there you go. Vigilius.
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 Yeah, it's like Virgil, Julius, and
then the word
Billy.
The word vigilant, I'm vigilant. Thinking, has something to do with it.
Nice.
I believe he inspired the name of the personal hygiene project Vagisil at some point.
Originally called Vigilius.
Yeah. And they did some market research, determined it was too confusing. Just went straight Vagisil. That was the winner.
So he was traveling, I'm assuming, not by ship, if it was in the same country, right?
Well, it just says he was on his... where is it? It dies at Syracuse on his journey back home. I don't know where he was coming from.
What age was he? Did it say or no?
It didn't say.
You don't want to die on your journey back home.
No.
Die on the journey, not on the journey back home. If you're gonna die on a journey, want it to be preferably once you're there, not on the way there, not on the way home, but sometime at the peak of your journey. That's when you kick the bucket.
Dying at some random rest stop in Sicily.
He died at a Hardee's off the side of the highway in Syracuse.
or a cowgirl baseball cap in view.
Yeah, the truck stop retail store has had a grabber in the apparel aisle.
That's no way to do it.
No, it's not.
Because you know, at that point, you just want to get home.
Exactly.
You enjoy your vacation or your whatever kind of. Probably it was business, I'm guessing, more than pleasure. But
yeah.
Oh well, some unfortunate Pope stuff news.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chris, what are your thoughts on this song before we say what it is? Anything?
Pretty iconic from another 70s joint. I'd be interested to hear if either of you guys have heard it or are familiar with it, but those in the know, the whole "if you know, you know" thing that's a popular saying these days applies to this one. This is a iconic and, if possible, underrated song from the early 70s.
Early 70s. Okay.
Wow. All right. Want me to do the thing?
I can do it. I know all the information.
All right. Well, let's turn the microphone over to Chris Jericho.
All right, Harold. This one's called
"Bad Motor Scooter."
Mm. Off of
Montrose.
By the band
Montrose.
Ow! Oh.
Okay.
Familiar with it, Nick?
I've heard it. You've let me borrow the album before.
Oh, okay. All right. Hmm. There you go.
I can't say that I'm like off the top of my head I can think of like the riff or anything like that, but familiar with it, sure.
I think I know this one. I think, which is probably, there are people listening who are like, "What do you mean you think you know it?" But I think I know it. If I'm thinking of the correct Montrose song. Of course we know this is Sammy Hagar. What, it's 1973?
Yes, I believe so, yes. Wow. This is how he came onto the scene. And name printed on the back of the album as Sam Hagar.
Okay.
Didn't add the M-Y until... I don't even know if he did it on the next Montrose album or if he started doing that in his solo career.
Just Sam.
I do not know that.
When did his solo career start?
Was 76,
it,
maybe.
It, wow, okay.
So he was, what, they just did two records with Montrose and that was it?
Well, two records with Sammy in the band.
Oh, sorry, yeah, he did two with Mon, okay.
Yeah, the self-titled and then Paper Money, and then I think he just went solo at that point. And I think Montrose carried on with another vocalist for maybe another album or two, but that was about it.
Okay.
But this first album is... bona fide classic, produced by Ted Templeman, who would go on to produce Van Halen, and also produced Doobie Brothers. So, you know, had the had that sound going on. A lot of people, because of that connection, think that Sammy Hagar was actually considered to be the original vocalist in Van Halen, at least in terms of getting them on the majors, firing Roth and hiring Sammy way back in 78. I don't know if that's ever been substantiated, but there's been talk that Ted Templeman wanted Sammy in at that point before the debut.
Okay.
And it just didn't happen. Not sure if that's ever been substantiated, but because of that connection, that sort of rumor...
Mm-hmm.
Got rolling in the 80s.
All right, so here's one thing I don't know. I know Sammy Hagar is the Cabo Wabo guy, of course, and the Cabo San Lucas guy. I'm assuming he's a Los Angeles guy, at least for the last 40 years or whatever.
I think that's true.
But where's Montrose from? Are they Los Angeles area, or are they from somewhere else?
That I don't know. I assume West Coast.
Okay. What was that noise? Nick, what'd you do?
I didn't do anything.
Just kidding. Yeah. I thought that was your stomach growling after your mashed potato donut.
Did you have it?
It was very good, thank you. Do we know where Sammy's from? I don't
know. Sammy's got to be a California guy, right? I never really looked it up before.
Well, I'm looking up... Ronald Douglas Montrose, And man, I didn't realize that. I knew he passed away. I didn't realize it was 11 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. He's from San Francisco.
Mm. Okay.
Originally, but looks like a Colorado guy too. But
physically, he looks like one.
No, I mean it looks like like he spent time there as well.
Okay. Gotcha.
Sammy.
Sammy, a San Francisco guy too.
Sammy is a Salinas, California guy.
Salinas's bus. I don't know where Salinas
he helped,
is.
He helped to tow Salinas's bus. He was one of those guys.
Oh, Neil Johnson says Sammy's from the Bay Area. If Neil Johnson says so, then that's fact. Yeah. So okay, the end.
Book it.
Bay Area Edge makes sense. Stone. Yep. Okay.
Yeah, Ronnie Montrose had played on the Edgar Winter Group album, They Only Come Out at Night, the one that has Frankenstein on it, the one that has Free Ride on it. So
when's kind that of, from, like 1970?
I want to say 72. I want to say it predated this album. It could have been as early as 70, but I want to say it was a couple years into the decade.
Okay.
But that was another album that all the stoner older brothers on the block had. And, you know, you would look at it and had the, you know, the band members on there. And, you know, you notice Ronnie Montrose on guitar. And then the next thing you know, he's got his own band out. So,
so this is, excuse me, 2 weeks in a row where we've got the non-singing guitar player.
Being the
titular member of the band.
That is correct.
I'm looking up this album because I'm curious.
Curious about what?
They Only Come Out at Night, also 1973.
Oh, okay.
How weird. Right. Okay.
Yeah, people made a lot of music back then.
I guess they were busy, huh? They were
prolific. But other members of Montrose are Bill Church on bass, who went on to be in Sammy's solo band for a lot of years. A lot of the material you know from the 80s, he was involved with that. And then Denny Carmassi on the drums, who went on to join Heart during their 80s incarnation, and also played the drums on Fred Bear by Ted Nugent.
Oh, wow, okay. So we're going to listen to the same drummer right now that played on Fred Bear.
We are.
Wow, that's good.
That is correct.
That's how you do a 10th anniversary show.
The hair on my arm just stood up. Oh, magic moment.
Nothing but the best. Who submitted this one?
I should have checked that, shouldn't I? Who submitted this one? This one's from our friend Dan Papathopoulos. And he says, what a debut.
He's right. In fact, the source material for I Can Have It is the closing cut on side one.
There you go.
I Don't Want It, which is actually verbatim one of Andy's catchphrases from back in the day.
It is.
Speaking of a holder for his iPass that I...
Is that what it was about?
Yeah, that I encouraged him to get, and he simply looked at me and said, I don't want it.
That's the
So he just had his iPass rattling around loosely on the dashboard. I'm like, you know, you can get one of those little things that slides into it. You stick it up on your windshield. You don't have to worry about it. He simply said, I don't want it. And that was the end of the conversation.
Hey, that was it.
But that song
moved on to the next topic.
Sammy Hagar, notoriously awful lyricist. I Don't Want It has one of the best opening lines in the history of rock music.
I guess you want to tell
us? Well, I gave love a chance and it shit back in my face is the opening line.
Shit back in my face.
Now, he was the lyricist on this as well?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Okay.
That is an odd thing. I mean, it's not always the case, but it is an odd thing that just because someone can move their voice around and make it hit the right notes, that suddenly it's like, all right, and you're also the guy who writes everything. Go.
It's not always
It's true. Not, but it's just often the case when that doesn't have anything to do with their ability to write lyrics.
Well, the singers are such prima donnas that they want the words that they're barking into a microphone to come from their own heart and soul, I think. I think it comes down to an ego thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, one of the outliers, of course, is Rush, where you had Neil Peart writing all the lyrics and
handing them over. Iron Maiden, for the most part.
Yeah, Steve Harris. Yeah. Well,
For the most part.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Black Sabbath, right?
Yeah, like, Geezer Butler.
During the Ozzy era. And then.
Sure.
And then Dio.
Yeah.
Yeah, he filled that void.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm ready to do it. Are you guys ready to do it?
I'm looking to see the songwriting credits on it.
Can't find it?
No, I think I'm on the wrong spot here, but I'm getting there. So, Bad Motor Scooter, it just says written by Sammy Hagar.
Wow.
He wrote the whole thing.
Huh? He's the soul, at least from what I'm seeing.
So this is one of the singles, huh?
I don't know.
Yeah, it looks to be a single.
It looks like Rock Candy and Bad Motor Scooter.
Man.
Yeah, Rock Candy has got to be the signature song for the band. But, yeah, I didn't know they put this out as a single. But, most fans of hard rock, 70s variety especially, pretty much, deem this as a flawless album. 8 tracks of just awesomeness.
Well, you know what I'm going to have to listen to? I didn't realize they did a cover of Good Rockin' Tonight.
Yeah?
Because I know that song by Mr. Arthur Prysock. I know his version.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to check out the Montrose one.
Yeah. The Honey Drippers did the cover of that, too. The Robert Plant.
Paul Schaefer.
Retro project in the mid-80s.
Okay. Well, I think it's time for us to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with Bad Motor Scooter, 1973, Montrose.
So, you take that.
Yep.
You take the opening guitar riff from Hellraiser by Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, you're halfway to Kickstart My Heart.
Yeah, right. That's what I was thinking. Not surprising.
Yeah, and I mean, the interesting thing is, you don't always like equipment, instruments, etc. that bands are known for, like playing live, that you sort of equate with them visually. It doesn't necessarily mean they use the same stuff in the studio.
Yeah.
But Ronnie Montrose was known to be a Les Paul player. You hear something like this, and you're like, well, it's got to be a Strat with a tremolo system on it to get that kind of effect, down-tuning and stuff. Could conceivably do that with the tuning peg on the headstock with a Les Paul, but that would... It's not as easy to achieve as with a tremolo system. So I'm wondering if he ever, when they did this live, how he pulled it off. I think there's a live video on YouTube. Possibly a pitch shifter pedal might have been.
How did Satriani do it? Didn't they do it?
Well, Satriani plays Ibanez guitar, so double walking tremolos all day long for him. So that, you know, makes sense. I just never equated Ronnie with as being a Strat player, especially back in the day. So I'm interested to know how he achieved this. And it could have been with a Fender in the studio and just figure out a way to do it on stage. Or he might, for all I know, broke out a Strat on stage with Montrose. I don't know. But
well, there's a... Here I go again over the last 10 years talking about this, but there's a pretty convincing motor sound achieved on by Steve Hackett in the Musical Box. And I'm pretty sure I think he plays a Les Paul on it, and just there's some sort of pedal effect, that because his feet were always, he was in those days, he would be sitting while on stage, and his feet are just kind of going all over the place. So there's some sort of pedal effect.
Could have been a pitch shifter back in the day, which would have been a very early example. But regardless, you know, like Nick said, a prototypical simulation on the guitar of a auto or motorcycle engine. Pretty convincing. Throw in a bunch of fuzz tone and pretty cool for the era. I think that was pretty, never really heard that before, except for the Sweet song, of course. But he was quite the guitar hero back in the day, 5 years in advance of Van Halen.
If you get lonely on your daddy's farm.
Now that might be his greatest opening that could line. Be.
Yeah, these are some of his better lyrics. I'll say that much for it.
I mean, it's like you know, we're talking about
the
thrill of inevitably we're gonna get to the thrill of riding in a fast vehicle, fast love vehicle. In another parallel here, my uncle has a country place that no one knows about. He's talking about your daddy's farm, the country place.
What song is that?
That's Red Barchetta.
It's getting, that gets into, we're going to get in a vehicle and drive real fast and feel that thrill. But, and I have a feeling that's where we're going.
Yeah,
here.
But Rush never really talked. But basically, Sammy's going down the proverbial road of the farmer's daughter type vibe.
Oh, Tom Kodal used to tell me that joke in grade school.
Which was?
Just one of the many cliched farmer's daughter's jokes.
This one
had to do with watermelons.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, is there milking involved? Okay.
Just remember, I don't live too far. And there's a red beach in Oxford. Yes. You'll be in my place in less than a day.
It's a long time.
I mean...
Not really. It's less than a day. He could have said more than a day. He could have said less than 2 days.
You might have to stop a couple of times.
Yeah, and, you know. Take a leak, grab some chips, you know, Red Bull.
Yeah.
Keep you going.
5 hour energy for this trip.
Yeah.
What was the third line? The third line in that group of lyrics, I've never pinpointed exactly what he said.
He said, "And there's a red bridge that arcs the bay." Yes.
I've heard that.
Talking about the Golden Gate? Could that be it?
Yeah.
I'm assuming he's telling the truth about that.
Are there farms near San Francisco? I guess.
She's a day away.
With a day. It could be, anywhere in California, up the Pacific Coast Highway.
This could be Montana.
Yeah, it could be anywhere, a day. It's a long ride.
Yeah.
Less than a day. That could be 18 hours.
It could be 20 minutes. Who knows? Yeah. You know?
That's true. And also, it's 1973.
So let me get this straight.
Get it straight, Nick.
Iron it out for
He's
us.
He's calling this girl.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, "Hey, I want to hang out with you." Whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever he's got in mind.
Yeah.
"Hey, why don't you drive here? Several hundred miles, quite possibly."
Yeah.
"To come see me."
Yeah.
Is that, how enticing is that for a woman? I mean, that's...
I guess it depends who you are.
But you would expect the guy to be like, "Hey, I'm on my way."
Yeah, yeah.
Not like, "Hey, you come here."
Yeah, no, you're right about that. It's not much... I mean, if you get lonely on your daddy's farm...
I'm not coming.
Yeah, I'm not showing up there, but you can come up here and we can have a good time.
Yeah.
It's not really what a woman would want to hear.
Not really a farm guy, so come over here. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have the right wardrobe to hang out on your daddy's farm, you know?
Not really my scene.
Yeah, your dad might not want me there, but I'm sure he's fine with you driving hundreds of miles.
Yeah, if you want to run away on, from your family.
By yourself, mm-hmm. before the era of cell phones.
Yeah. He probably had his license suspended or something. That's why he can't go out there. Or he's got an ankle bracelet. Exactly.
Come get me. Right. Yeah.
House arrest.
Yeah.
Those bad boys, they get all the chicks.
I was going to say, though, there must be something about him that she can't say no to.
Unless she does.
But I was going to say, at least the thoughts in her head. We'll see if it happens. But yeah, I don't know what it is that he has, but let's find out. So get on your bed, motor scooter, and ride.
Okay,
that's great guitar work there. The way that the chord progression is also simulating the revving of the engine, mm-hmm. the acceleration.
Yes, it's very very. Like I said, he was a formidable guitar hero in the era between Hendrix and Van Halen. Montrose was right up there at the top of the heap, certainly in terms of American guitarists. I mean, you could throw in the Aerosmith guys. I mean, first Aerosmith came out in 73 as well. Okay, so they were just kind of getting started. I mean, Ronnie was much more of a flash guitarist, getting attention for that. So I think from an American standpoint, you know, for that kind of dare I say gunslinger guitar player, he was at the top of the list, no question about it.
You know, back to lyrics, it's also now he's telling her to get on her bad motor scooter. When he says bad, is it like that thing's like Michael Jackson bad, or is it a piece of shit and he's saying get on that piece of shit and ride 200 miles to my house?
I'm guessing in 73 we had that that sort of slang was existent.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say it skews more toward the Michael Jackson definition.
Now, drive that piece of shit over to my house is now, pretty good though.
Okay, so I don't know this, but I'm just going to speculate.
Yeah.
Is this one of those things where, you know, it's the title probably came from bad motor scooter being a sort of censored word for something that Andy would have etched on his wallet?
Do you think that's where that came from?
I don't know, because, well, you've got the Soundgarden album Bad Motor Finger, mm-hmm. which I'm assuming that actually has the same initials.
I never thought of that,
but I'm wondering if that's the case here. I have no clue. I like the term bad motor scooter. I just don't know where it would have come from.
Mm-hmm. It's possible, but the way he you know, translates that into a little story going on here is pretty clever. Certainly for Sammy, who not known for the quality of his lyrics.
Yeah.
Well, and another example in the Live Lou Rawls '66 album, he's doing a rap about a woman yelling at her man and calling him a jive melon farmer. So I mean, that's another thing that's leading me to believe that this could have just been like a censored version of saying something else, and then that it kind of took on a life of its own,
and then it just became,
because you don't hear people say that. You don't hear people call anything a bad motor scooter, but I like it though. I think it's cool.
I like Jive Melon Farmer. I'm gonna say that tomorrow.
What sound effects would you make on the guitar to simulate a Jive Melon Farmer?
I can't do it on the podcast
though. Yeah, exactly.
I'll do it in private. Yeah, okay, but yeah, get on your bad motor scooter. It's like he's inviting her on a mission of certain death. Get on that piece of shit right over to my house to get some penis from a redhead in San Francisco. I don't know how.
Who could resist that? What woman would melt at such a suggestion?
And you won't even be comfortable in an automobile.
No,
you're going to be on a.
You mean the elements? Be bugs.
You're
going to
be hitting, getting hit by bugs. Yeah.
Yeah, the farmer's daughter who's also a biker. Right? What a combo that is!
And you're going to have to do the thing where you put your hand down by the street to wave to the other people driving by that little signal that they've got for each other.
Yeah, that is interesting.
And if you don't do that, I think the other guy gets mad.
I think they turn around and chase you if you don't do it.
I think so.
Yeah, that and the Jeep wave. Those are the two. You have to do it or else you're out.
Yeah.
Person's going to be pissed off at you if you don't give the wave back. Are there any other vehicle waves other than motorcycle and Jeep?
I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, when we drive around in our Miata convertible, if we see another one, you're kind of obligated to wave at those people.
You just wave, though? Or is there a thing?
No, it's just a wave.
Okay. That's just because you know the guy across the street who has one.
You just wave to each other back and forth all afternoon.
Yeah, exactly. Flashing our headlights at each other's houses. But no, I'm talking like random sightings like so up on Highway 12 or whatever.
Yeah, so that's a legit one too.
I mean, I don't get the impression that people in Chevy Malibus are waving at each other. You know, garden variety, boring American cars. Who cares if somebody else owns it? Because everybody does.
Yeah, there's just certain vehicles that for whatever reason, there's a community where you have to wave to each other.
But yeah, so he's got the combo biker chick, farmer's daughter. That's a handful.
Yeah, what is he thinking?
He's trying to tell her what to do.
She's going to be upset most likely by the time she gets there.
Yeah, first thing she's going to do is kick him in his red penis.
It's going to be like in The Jerk where the stunt motorcycle performing lady throws her helmet at him and then kicks him or punches him or something.
It'll be worth the 200-mile drive just to do that. She'll do that and turn immediately back around and drive back to her daddy's farm.
Thrust her hips at him like in The Jerk right before she gets back on and leaves.
I think that's exactly the scenario. And this guy doesn't even know it's coming. He thinks, she's coming all the way up here. She's at my beck and call. That's not how it's going to end for you.
Ooh, the last time I seen your face, swore that no one would take your place. Now since you've been gone,
now here we're getting to the crux of it. That's why he doesn't want to go down there. He's afraid of the old man.
He really said it.
I love that. That's a lyric.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Now we're getting to the crux of it. He's showing some vulnerability to this woman. Typically, you don't reveal that to a member of the opposite sex for fear of not being respected.
Yeah. But, I'm afraid
he's
of
straight up coming out with that.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to say, this is for Sammy Hagar, this is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For anybody, this is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are definitely at the top of the list. It's a short list, but the list of his good lyrical efforts. There's a few of them on this album. Like I said, I Don't Want It. It's got some great lines in it, but. And musically speaking, I really love how they like go half tempo during the verses and then kick it up double time during the choruses. That's a great arrangement. And Carmassi kind of was following in the Bonham footsteps, just had heavy-handed four on the floor drumming, but did a great job on this
musically. Like the composition, the performance, and the production. It's just, this is like you close your eyes and you can imagine a smoke-filled arena. And this is just such a 70s.
Oh, yeah.
Such a 70s groove that they're doing. It's prototypical 70s hard rock.
But at the time, though, this was, like I said, not as much of a quantum leap forward like when the Boston album came out, like just the clarity of that production, but more from a standpoint of the power of it, was pretty unprecedented in 73.
This has that raw, like, grand funk sound, I would say.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's yeah, a but one. A little
different, but the sound of it, like, it's totally got
definitely
that.
Definitely more West Coast, you know, the coming from the groin area. Not that grand funk music didn't come from that area, it did, but it's a little less blue collar and just a little more just kind of horny, for lack of a better term. But
well, horny and afraid.
Horny and afraid. That's
a good TV show. Yeah.
The next logical move from naked and afraid is horny and afraid. But yeah, he's revealed why he's not going down there trying to get this woman to come up to his place.
Yeah. I love that that's part of the song. That's brilliant.
You come up to my place, I'm afraid of your dad. Love that. And the way he delivered it, if you ought to listen to it again, just listen to his voice.
He kind of started breaking a little,
right? He gets a little sheepish when he says it. It's hilarious.
I'll go back. I've been feeling a bad,
yeah. I come out the office, I'm afraid of your dad.
Dad.
Yeah. I mean, well, that was not your typical powerful Sammy Hagar delivery there.
He's a little bit embarrassed to say it.
He backed off. He's like David by Michelangelo. I don't know if you guys have ever heard or read that because he's about to go into battle. He's David versus Goliath.
Yeah.
And the genitalia, they say that it's accurate to like a fight or flight.
Oh, really?
Sort of like the way that it was sculpted.
Yeah.
That's about how if you're about to enter into some sort of situation like that,
your penis shrivels up.
That's
a little
about
bit.
How it would look. Yeah,
yeah. If you have a boner, it'd be weird in the middle of a battle.
Well, not a. I mean, that's someone who I'd want in my army. Someone who's aroused by battles and war and conflict.
Patton might have. I don't know.
Yeah, that's not true. Somebody who looks like he just jumped into a pool of cold water. That's not who I want.
Well, but, Washington crossing the Delaware.
He might have had a boner.
That's a toss-up.
He could have had one.
I mean, it was really cold, but the way he was standing on that boat.
Yeah, and he was on the front of the boat, right?
Front of the boat. Yeah.
So he could have had his pants. He could have had it out of the zipper, and no one would have noticed.
Wasn't the only thing he skipped across the Delaware?
No, it's not.
It wasn't just the coin. It wasn't. That he threw
his teeth weren't the only wooden things on his body either. Was I going to say? I completely lost my train of thought.
I was just going to say, you know how like Nick's saying the David's boner or what he
did or lack of boner.
That's like when you do, like if you play sports or something, your body just automatically kind of like...
Yeah, it moves this shit out of the way.
Hence the brilliance of Michelangelo.
Right. But then I was also going to say, which is... the worst part of taking a shower in gym class right after playing basketball.
Well, how much do you really want out there?
I want it all. I want everyone to see every wrinkle stretched to its capacity if someone else is looking at it.
That could be concerning for the other guys in the locker room.
Hey, that's their problem. Not my problem.
That's the classic, you know, grower versus shower dynamic.
Yeah. You have to smack it around a little bit before you got in the shower.
Some guys have it all on display at all times. Others have the retractable version.
Yeah.
I'm told that's referred to, the George Washington thing is referred to as a battle boner. Just got a message.
That's good. A battle boner.
Simple yet classic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get back into this. So you get on your band, roll a scooter and ride.
Walk over to my place. A lot of good bass playing going on in the song too. You know, it's busy but not overly so. He's not just peddling notes. He's more of like a, you know, that John Paul Jones kind of territory where he's playing busy bass lines, walking bass lines, but nothing like crazy that's stepping on the toes of what everybody else is doing. Blends in really nicely with everything.
Yeah. What is his name? Bass player?
Bill Church.
Bill Church, okay. Yeah, good stuff.
Lovely, lovely stuff. I love the little, the couple of, like the couple of hits there leading into it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Great, great. Again, the arrangement is just outstanding in this song.
Because when I first heard that, when they kind of, and it just sort of stopped, I thought, okay, we're getting like a whole riff section here where that it's going to be real staccato like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then it just went into the solo, which, I mean, it's very effective because it takes you out of the rest of kind of
separates
like,
that
because the rest of the song you've got like the motor scooter sounds, and that's very like that's anything but staccato, that's very like flowy, you know. Yeah. It just kind of keeps doing that, and that so that kind of just takes you out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then ripping right into the solo, very nicely, like a pronounced solo. Mm-hmm. it's up in front, it's right there. I mean, it's called Montrose. He's taking the limelight here. And
well, I thought it was evenly mixed between the solo and the continuing, you know, simulation of the motorcycle. Yeah. They were kind of evenly balanced, you know, but yet they still meshed well together. Again, they weren't necessarily clashing with each other. They seemed to go well to each other. And just sonically, I mean, as you know, you talked about the where it puts you back in like a smoke-filled arena, you know. This also puts me in the you know, passenger seat of like a Camaro with an 8-track player playing, probably a convertible, just cranking music like this. Just you know, puts you in a the whole the sonics of it just puts you back into a different era, which is, I mean, can't really ask for much more from a production than that, you know, capturing not only capturing a moment in time amongst musicians, but transporting the listener to a place in time.
That's really the ultimate goal, I would say, for any sort of musical recording or performance, to be able to do that.
Yeah.
The same notes.
It's exactly taken from this,
100%.
And the sweet song in the next, the part right after that in the Motley Crue song. It's
nice.
It's just completely ripped.
That's nice to just take a couple songs.
Just
you
take
like
it completely.
Yeah. And then make millions of dollars from just combining two songs.
You know what I loved?
Mm-hmm.
I loved the little noises, the fret noises that were left in right before he did the word ride, like the big finish.
Stop.
I loved that you could hear all that.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking that too. Just like, you know, these guys are playing it live and it's being captured, you know. And something we talked about last week where the band never captured a proper energy level in the studio. They had to bring it on their live albums. Not the case here.
No.
No shortage of energy and fire coming out of these guys, which, again, you know, translated to, you know, 5 years later when Templeman bringing in Van Halen, you know, when we did the I'm the One episode and stuff like that. I mean, those guys were not intimidated by the studio environment at all. They came in and fucking brought their A game and then some, and mm-hmm. that's what's happening here.
Yeah. Yeah, this was great.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's,
nothing bad about it at all.
We'll wait and see. We got the outlier over here. Andy Jones.
Who? Me? What? Yeah.
Andy. But I guess I'll vote first.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The sweetest of sweet surrenders, absolutely.
It's Sweet Surrender!
Hell yes!
Iconic, classic, you know, I said that Rock Candy was the signature song. It's probably true, but you can make a case for this being the signature song of Montrose as well.
I like Rock Candy a lot, but I think that I like this one better, actually.
I like it better. I think Rock Candy is a tad overrated for me. I mean, it's still damn good, but you know, I actually, if I had to look back at the list, I would say Rock Candy is in the bottom third of the songs on this album in terms of how much I like it. This one's definitely up there. The simulated engine sounds, the flash guitar, all very groundbreaking in 73. I mean, as I was listening to it, I'm like, Ronnie was almost like the American Jeff Beck, you know, that the sort of vocal guitar lines at the end when they just before they went to the ending where he was trading off with the vocal lines with Sammy, but on the guitar, it's a very Beck-like thing to do. Mm-hmm. Underrated in the grand scheme of things, but yeah, to be busting out music like this in 73, mm-hmm. it's almost Hendrixian to the point where you're listening to it. It's like, although Zeppelin was in full regalia at that point, but this was way more American sounding, and I think,
it had a raw quality to it that Zeppelin didn't always have.
Well, Zeppelin was by 73, they were definitely getting into more acoustic stuff and getting more experimental, whereas these guys were just doing the four on the floor thing. But just that the simulated motorcycle engine on the guitar was something that was unprecedented back in the day, and just outstanding stuff. So,
and then not quite 20 years not quite 20 years later, you had Sammy Hagar on stage with Eddie Van Halen in a drill.
Oh yeah.
So
it's true.
I guess if you can carve that out to, you know, be one of the singers who the hotshot innovative guitar players want to play with, then that's not a bad thing.
Yeah. Nick,
vote. Very, very Sweet Surrender.
It's Sweet Surrender.
Hell yes.
Loved it. Loved everything about it. It was raw, had a lot of energy, great tempo, great performances, great vocal. Chris mentioned the bass playing also. Yeah, I was paying more attention to that during like the second half of the song. Mm-hmm. And again, like, I get sucked in by the lyrics sometimes, and this one had some pretty great lyrics, and kind of one of those which I enjoy for the most part, an unresolved storyline.
Yeah,
could go anywhere. Doesn't look like it's going to be good, ultimately.
Yeah, it just kind of ended with him revealing that he's afraid of her dad. That's probably when she hung up on him at that point and just completely lost respect for him. That was another thing I was going to say. The way he said dad is like, as the words were coming out of his mouth, his brain is like, you really shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
That was a mistake.
I'm afraid of your dad.
That's not, you blew.
He went out on a limb hoping for a very specific reaction that was unlikely to happen.
All or nothing scenario. Yeah. He blew it.
Yeah, big time.
But I love that it's not, and I love Hide Your Heart, but it's not Hide Your Heart as far as storytelling goes.
No.
Very, it stops abruptly and you're left to make your own conclusion, and neither character seems particularly savory.
Yeah,
so it's a very interesting, very fun song in that regard.
Yeah, he's just putting an offer out there, right? That's really all the song is.
it's such a bizarre offer. Like, it's not like, hey, I'm coming in my bad scooter. I'm driving my bad motor scooter. You hop on the back and we're going.
Yeah, that's more typical.
I'm gonna sit here.
Yeah,
you come to me.
Yeah, I'm gonna sleep.
And I love the specifics of like, you could be here in less than a day.
On a motorcycle. And is it a motorcycle?
Oh, yeah.
Or is it like a dirt bike or something? A scooter, moped?
I'm assuming they're going big.
We assume this is like a hog?
I think so.
Okay, yeah. That's fair.
Yeah, I keep thinking of that crazy woman from The Jerk.
That's a great one, yeah.
That's what's coming to mind here. That's what he's going to be met with. He's going to be eating his pizza in a cup in the trailer. And she's going to show up.
Pizza in a cup.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
All right. Well, I'm going to give this song a sweet surrender.
It's sweet surrender. Hell yes.
We talked about all the great things in the song. We always sort of do make fun of Sammy's lyric writing, but even back in 1973, you can't say anything about his voice. He's unassailable as a front man.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever said anything to the contrary, but if I've given off that impression, I'm saying it now, that nothing, you can't call into question the quality of, and the power and the sound of his voice. It's all top shelf.
Yeah. And as of at least a couple of years ago, it's still there. So, what was that? About 2 years ago is when I saw him?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Cursing up a storm in front of your
kid. Was all fired up.
Yeah, he was. It was first couple of gigs after COVID, I think. I don't know.
It kind of got away from him.
I want to get some pussy. Like, you're 75, dude. Yeah. Take it easy. And you're in a carnival with a bunch of children.
He knows how to get the crowd going in the dumbest way possible. Listen to Van Halen right here, right now.
Yeah.
He starts playing Give to Live, and he's telling the crowd that he wants them all to come to his house, and he's going to throw 5 pounds of weed in the fireplace. Crowd goes nuts.
Really?
Sammy knows how to do that.
That's all they wanted to hear, huh? 5 pounds of weed in the fireplace.
Not 6 pounds. Not 4 pounds. But 5 pounds.
What a childish thought that is.
Enough to go to prison for a very long time.
In the vein of less than a day.
It is.
Very
specifying the amount of the weight of the amount of drugs that you're going to be using.
Yeah.
Probably not smart.
Yeah, it's not.
Because that at some point it crosses over into. More severe charges.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, look where we found ourselves.
All right, Hammond! I got a question for you.
Paul Stanley was probably loving this.
Probably.
Paul Stanley wants to know if Bad Motor Scooter is a rock and roll boner classic, as voted by the three rock and roll boners in this room. Nick and his Chupaga are mulling it over. Nick's debating if he should crack over another kombucha.
This one's done. It was good too. Plenty of probiotics.
It's what you need.
What do probiotics do?
I don't know. But you know what?
It's healthy bacteria for your digestive tract.
I don't need it. I don't want it.
Ask Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, yeah. Jamie Lee and her shit yogurts from 10 years ago.
She is shit yogurt purveyor?
That was like a decade ago. She had all those commercials. I forgot which yogurt that was, but she was all over those commercials.
She was helping out everybody with their digestive health.
Yeah.
I don't remember those.
That's what she'll be known for long after she's gone. Not her Academy Award.
Does she have one?
Didn't she just win one this year?
She did, really? Yeah.
Oh, okay. For what?
Best shit yogurt commercial.
Yep. Not for her Academy Award, not for getting her tits out and trading places, but the shit yogurt.
Activia, they're telling us. It's Activia.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah.
Activia. I didn't know she was the spokesperson for that.
Yeah, man.
I don't think she is anymore. They ran out of money.
She was probably going like 4 or 5 times a day.
Well, you should make me the spokesperson for psyllium husks. Swear by that stuff.
Every day?
Oh, fuck yeah.
What do you take it, in the morning?
I take it, usually up to 3 servings before noon. I'm good for the day.
3 servings.
Yeah, just a big old tablespoon right in the pie hole. Wash.
Not at the same time. Throughout the course.
Yeah, not 3 in a row. That might be pickle juice, take a knee territory. That much fiber at one shot. But
I might be lying across the toilet horizontally because you have no strength to sit up.
Spaced out like from 6-ish in the morning through about 10. I have about 3 servings. I'm good for the day.
Wow.
Swear by it. It's great.
Chris and Jamie Lee Curtis.
Was there an issue that you were going through before you started taking it?
I was. That's when I started taking probiotics. I was, getting a lot of bloating feeling, and I wasn't eating that great either, but it definitely helped. But making it various adjustments has helped immensely, but the psyllium is definitely part of my daily regimen.
I just want to know what warning signs I need to watch out for and when I need to get on the psyllium train.
I would say if you're you've already described to me the quality of your dumps, and they're pretty low from what I can tell.
I'm sure I was. It was a specific instance, and I was painting a picture.
I mean, Chris,
using some artistic license.
Look, if Chris threw some of his at somebody in the bathroom, it would break a bone.
And you get hit with a shot put.
Chris does a hammer throw.
He has to spin.
And the other beautiful part about it is you'd grab it with your hand and throw it at somebody, and then you'd look at your hand. It would be as if there was never a piece of shit in there.
Wow. You could just go eat a bag of Doritos without washing your hands. No problem.
I will take a massive psyllium dump, do one wipe, and there will be nothing on the paper.
It is incredible when that happens.
It could be a regular thing if you get on the husk train.
Didn't you let Andy borrow your container years ago?
I think maybe.
I thought that happened. Andy didn't.
No, I don't think so.
I thought I bought
some one time.
Oh, maybe then.
But I don't know. Maybe I just didn't need it at the time. I don't know.
If you feel the bloating, if you feel like you're backed up, that would be the time to try it.
Okay.
Clears you right out, and it's not uncomfortable or stressful or anything. It just becomes a part of your normal thing, and it's a beautiful thing.
Beautiful.
I recommend it.
Better than Metamucil?
Oh, Metamucil is child's play compared to the husks.
Tastes good though. It's like Tang kind of.
It's horseshit.
Yeah.
Now, a mouthful of sawdust washed down with your favorite beverage. It's the only way to go.
Okay. Ah, listen to us.
I believe in it. I recommend it.
Hey, you feel that strongly about it. That's good. I don't know if I feel that strongly about any product, so I like to hear the enthusiasm.
Well, I'm like anybody else. I like shit that works, and there's very little of that in the world these days. There's products that make a lot of promises, they don't deliver on it. When you find something that works exactly as described, if not better, you stick with it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Nick!
Huh?
All because of your can over there. That just happened.
Oh, like we weren't going to talk about digestion. It's not the first time.
Back to business. My vote's in.
There's two check marks, boners and digestion. We did them both. All right. We can wrap it up.
That's the 10-year anniversary right there.
Yeah. All right. Chris's vote is in. Nick, is your vote in?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, my vote is in.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
What?
What happened, Nick?
Of course, you know, I'm looking up one-star reviews on psyllium husk powder.
Oh, no. It's not the powder. You don't want the powder.
Oh, you don't want the powder.
You don't want... The powder is weird. It coagulates. It's not the same. You want the whole husks ground up. I tried the powder once. Okay. Big mistake. I threw it out.
Because the subject line
The raccoons in the neighborhood have been dropping giant logs.
The subject line for one of the one-star reviews for the powder simply had the word vile.
Oh.
Yeah, the powder isn't right. I couldn't figure out how they expect you to take it. It just didn't... I don't know why they even put that out there. There's no good way to take it. To stick with the whole husks ground.
Good to know. All right, Nick, you ready?
Yeah, can I go second?
Sure. Chris, okay. Nick, Andy?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Rock.
Battle.
Boner.
And he got it!
It's a rock and roll ball, yeah!
How could we not?
Yeah, it was great.
Be lying to ourselves.
Yeah. So we didn't. Had you not heard that before, Nick? Or
I'd heard it before, but I guess mostly in passing.
Same here. I remember the chorus.
Yeah.
I didn't remember the lyrics.
But it's different when you sit and you're listening to it as critically as you possibly can, and you have to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's a different experience.
Totally.
Yeah. You know, the whole album's great. I mean, anybody who's heard it knows it's a classic. So if you're not familiar with it, highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm. And if you disagree with us, we're sorry.
That's just the fucking way it is.
Mm-hmm. How dare you?
How could you ever?
French fried potatoes, garlic mashed potatoes, loaded baked potato, or the waffle fries on the rice.
You know what time it is, Nick?
Was that a commercial?
Yes.
For what?
Tatoes.
Okay.
Twisted Tatoes. Hot new product coming.
Well, you know, that woman could have, I'm assuming, could have come from Idaho and made it there within a day.
Yeah. I would think so. Okay. I don't know. How's our geography? I think that makes sense.
Mine's not that good, but I have a feeling it's possible.
If she's hauling
doable.
Ass. Yeah, she can get there. If she leaves early, she can get there.
Well.
Weather's clear. It's a lot. You know, wind at her back. I don't know. Well, Nick, it's time for your favorite part of the show. Time for a commercial.
I can't imagine. Oh, okay.
Followed by Yard of Questions.
Oh, Yards of Questions.
Motherfucker, I give them.
Swing away.
Yes, Chief.
Ugh. Tom Selleck. Why don't you get a reverse mortgage? What do you say?
He'd say yes. Do it. No,
every time you see him now, it's reverse mortgage commercials. Come on.
He's graduated.
Come on, give him a call.
Bilking the elderly.
He's graduated to elderly.
Let's just call it elder abuse at this point.
Well,
come on, give him a call. That's how he is.
I think we can all agree, though, that no one is dipped lower or is more shameless about just completely bilking the elderly than Montel Williams, that shit he was involved in.
What was he doing? I don't remember.
I'm trying to remember, but I just remember seeing those ads and just like, how can you live with yourself?
Wow.
Putting this shit.
Yeah, I know
there.
Like Namath is in one. Namath's all over that scene.
Yeah, I think
Frank Thomas will be soon.
Give him time.
Well, until he's done with the lumber pills he's been pimping.
The lumber pills.
The mantastic or man boosting formula. That's one of my favorite phrases. Yeah.
Did they say that?
Yep, man boosting formula.
Wow.
His George Washington pills.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, this looks fun. And it looks like a nice way to wrap up this 10-year anniversary that we have here. This is from our buddy Steve Caldwell. Hey, Steve.
Hello, Steve.
How you doing, Steve? My buddy said, hey, guys.
Steve's the man.
So this is from a while ago, so this is not current, but he says, as I'm about to fly over Hammond en route to Vegas, I was inspired to send an anniversary-themed Yardo questions.
Ooh.
Anniversaries are a time of reflection. So, he's going to hit us with some of those types of questions.
Great. Introspection.
Yes. But you started it with that opening clip, so.
Yeah, I didn't want to trigger the waterworks too early, but I think I did.
Can I do a quick clarification/correction? Montel Williams, absolute scumbag, but not limited to the elderly. He was a spokesperson for a payday loan company.
Oh, okay.
Which it was Money Mutual.
It was Montel Jordan that was in the elderly commercials. Yeah.
Listen to this. Using Mr. Williams' reputation as a trusted celebrity endorser, Money Mutual marketed loans to struggling consumers with sky-high interest rates.
Terrible.
Sometimes in excess of 1,300%.
What?
How could that even be?
Yeah. That's so, I mean, how do you do that and sleep?
How is that not equivalent to loan sharking?
It's not equivalent. It's beyond loan sharking. The mafia was envious of those interest rates.
Wow. I don't fully know what that is, but my understanding is that you get a loan based on your paycheck, and then you have to forfeit your paycheck? You get your money in advance, basically?
I don't know how that works, but basically it's like interest compounded daily to the four-figure interest compounded daily.
Impossible interest, basically. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, anyway.
Where you just start laughing at a certain point.
Well,
it's horrible.
I mean, what do they do? Do they do like the mafia? Send their goons after you to break your thumbs or fit you for cement shoes and throw you into the river? How does that work?
You have to be on Montel's talk show talking about your you have to be a cautionary tale on Montel's show.
Yeah. He gets you coming and going, yeah. Montel.
Yeah.
Jeez. Is that all? He doesn't have a show in any way at this point.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Nah, he had a show in the mid 90s where it was a drama where he was like a teacher or something like that.
Hmm. Sounds
Matt.
Not good.
It was like a guy's name. It was like Matt something.
Matt Locke, you're thinking of?
No. Afraid not.
Okay.
Very, very dramatic seeming from the commercials I remember. Right. Yeah, Matt something. Hmm. I'll have to look it up.
Look it up.
Just in case there are people out there dying to know.
There are many.
All right, well, I'm going to do it for him then.
Yeah, I can't find it. Wait. Oh, yeah, Matt Waters.
Yeah, there you have it.
What a name for a show.
He played an ex-Navy SEAL turned inner city high school teacher. How do you even remember that?
I don't know. It was on after Puchinsky.
That was the new TGIF. All right. Question one from Steve. Is there anything in particular that you feel like you weren't great at 500 episodes ago that you really feel like you've mastered over time?
Ooh, I don't think so.
I think we're better at firing off jokes off the cuff. I think we've done that since episode one, but you guys can correct me if I'm wrong if you didn't feel this way, but I'm not sure that I thought there was going to be so much of a comedic element to the show, which I'm glad there is. Makes it more fun for us and then hopefully the listeners. And then, the production bits, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't necessarily envision doing those, but we've gotten in that group. It's pretty good. So that would be my vote.
Nicholas?
I don't know that we're so much better at it now, but I will say we've got the benefit of 500 episodes behind us. So there's an entire, I guess if you want to call it a canon, that's been established.
Yeah.
Running gags, familiarity.
Sure.
That's huge, in my opinion. But whether we're better at it, I don't know. I guess I'd have to go listen.
Yeah.
I think I remember someone telling me that we were not angrier, but we were a little more brutal toward whatever we were listening to and talking
that
about.
That makes sense.
So maybe we're better at something that I've said before that I think holds true, is that we really do try to come from a place of appreciation whenever mm-hmm. possible.
It's true.
Like I don't want to be a podcast where it's like, oh, like you're going to put out a, the name of the, like the title of the podcast will be something very provocative.
Yeah.
And it's going to be very clickbaity.
Yeah.
And it's going to, oh man, these guys are going to say something like that. These guys are going to say something publicly that I would only think, you know, something like that.
No,
like
sometimes we do that.
Well, we do that, but we don't. We don't advertise it as we're going to say. We're going to just completely tear apart. Well, once in a while.
Sometimes we do. Yeah.
The Billy Joel episode. Right. It was like, yes, this is what we're going to do. But by and large, no. I think we always try to come from a place where we're ready to appreciate what's coming.
In fact, didn't we typically end Pot of Thunder Month with an evisceration? That's not happening this year, obviously. It's too late, but
there's always June.
Yeah, I mean, we can do whatever we want.
I think that's the next one.
Is that the next Pot of Thunder Month?
Yeah.
On the calendar, yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Good to know. Okay. Question two. Rage Music. Look it up. Time for a baked treat. What's your favorite audio drop from throughout the show's history?
Interesting.
Look It Up is hard to beat. Just for the, I don't ever use it anymore, but we used it so often in the Kiss days, and it's so useful because there's always an unanswered question.
Right.
And it's just funny.
It's funny. You got your phone handy. You can look anything up you want. You know, we don't research anything in advance. It's not planned out, so it definitely comes in handy. It's just that montage that Nick unleashed to open the show. There are a couple that I was just cracking up at. I'm trying to remember which one I like the most.
One that we haven't had in a while, and it doesn't really count because
I'm gonna answer this question as something that we've actually recorded ourselves. Not just like a drop that we got from somewhere else, but the Pat Morita prototype drop that got us through.
That was a big one.
For many years.
That was, we used that, what, for probably 4 years or more?
Yeah, and
every funny episode.
Funny every time.
Yeah.
I guess I'd have to vote for Going Pee simply because it's my ringtone. So, I mean, if I didn't like it more than anything else, something else would be my ringtone.
Yeah.
So, that's Going my pee. Vote.
Well, I'm going to, it's not necessarily a sound drop. But my favorite thing, and it had to do with sound drops. So yeah, not regular recurring ones, but ones that happened and we talked about, whatever. What I like to call the $100 trio, as opposed to the $1 million quartet. The alter ego personas of Diminutive Andrew, Nicardo Honias, and the Big Thropper, and. Maybe my favorite thing, I don't know why, I just find it hilarious, is Peckerwood Mama.
That's the one.
I thought it was just something about that, to me, came out hilarious.
Maybe the most outlandish thing.
It's completely outlandish.
Yeah.
That to me, just the fact that those personas came about. And that that song happened.
Yeah.
And that was just you know, a little aside. That's that blues guitar part was something that for years was just kind of sitting there. Mm. Nothing happened with it.
Okay.
So it was really nice to be able to go back and rework and finish something. Yeah.
That's nice. I didn't realize that.
That was going to be a Flying Aaron song.
Oh, it was?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that blues part.
What was the name of the song?
Aaron Gets Out. And the whole concept was that Aaron gets two or three life sentences and finishes it and gets out.
I remember that idea.
That was going to be the storyline of the song.
Yeah.
Never happened, but very pleased to have done that. So that it's just so outlandish and ridiculous. I just thought it was funny.
It's funny. I like it. I'm looking here on our chat. Let's see, we got Pope stuff, Going Pee, Pope stuff, Hotter Than Grape.
Oh yeah, that's the all-time best right there.
Look it up. You better watch out because I'm a sports machine.
Oh wow, yeah.
So those are the classics.
All available to patrons starting at the entry-level tier. You get full access to the sound library.
Download it. It's yours. Do what you want with it. Drive your family crazy.
Yep.
Great at parties.
Very
Everybody
fun.
Loves it.
Yeah.
Question three. I'm sure it's tough to pinpoint... Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm sure it's tough to pinpoint the absolute best... But what's one time that one of the other guys has really made you laugh? The kind of laughter that makes you think this is why we're still doing this after 500 episodes. And while you think about that...
Wait, was there a timetable? Could be anywhere in the show?
Anywhere.
Or just an example?
Anytime.
Of a line that came out?
Well, Nick, I might be stealing Nick's, but Andy's ring bearer tuxedo line in the Hall of the Mountain King was just it leveled both
that
of
was,
us.
That was number one for sure.
Wasn't Jay there too?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, maybe he just sent me a message about
it. Yeah.
Okay, that's what it was.
Yeah, that was
just the three of us?
That was number one.
That leveled both of us. No question
Absolutely.
About it.
That's good.
Trying to think of what my favorite Nick Zinger is.
There have been many. It's great. And most episodes have that moment. Not all of them. We don't always achieve that. But like today, we did.
Got a laugh.
With the George Washington conversation.
Yeah.
The battle boner thing. Yeah. That did it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it happens with decent regularity, I would say. Kind of like psyllium husk. It occurs with regularity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what you know.
I don't know. One that always kills me, still does, and it had nothing to do with anything. It was an earlier episode, and Andy was saying something about, it might have been SeaWorld and the allegations of them mistreating animals, and we were talking about commercials on TV, you know, like local antenna commercials where they're showing these animals in these very rough conditions, which is not funny.
Yeah.
But the way Chris said it still makes me laugh, where he said, he was like basically putting words into the animal's mouth. He's like, why do they keep kicking me? And just the way he said it, yeah. I just remember it killed me, and it still does when I think about it.
He references that often.
That one was great. Yeah. But there've been a lot. I'd really have to sit here and think.
I guess I talk about it all the time, and I guess the reason why it didn't spring to my mind, because it's not necessarily uproarious laughter when he said it, but it was funny. But it was also just how he just so accurately painted the picture and put all the puzzle pieces together was, of course, the "he's circling the block" line from the "Take It Off"
episode. That was huge. Yeah,
that was a big one. That was like a profound revelation.
It was a profound revelation, but he nailed the vibe of the guy and just said it in such a funny way that, yeah, that's top a list for me for Nick, of course, but the ring bear tuxedo line—that might
the
be the best of all time. That just leveled both of us the instant you said it.
That was good.
Fucking hilarious.
Steve says, "Congratulations on 500 episodes, and forget about 500 more. Here's hoping you keep at it long enough to eventually warrant a seemingly endless end of the pod world tour." Take care, Steve Caldwell. Thank you, Steve. That's very sweet. Thank you so
Always
much.
Always lovely to hear from you.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And if you want to submit a Yardo questions, go to podofthunder.com. Click that little widget and make it happen.
Something you can still do without ponying up to be a patron. So have at it.
Yeah. Give him a call.
Not that we don't want you to pony up and be a patron, but you don't have to do that in order to submit Yarda questions. And the show is available to you like it always has been. So,
and ask someone who is a patron if they feel it's worth their while. Get some honest feedback ahead of time.
Yeah. There you go.
Find out. Hopefully it is.
Find a buddy.
For the people who have signed up. We're doing what we can.
We're doing our best. Alrighty. Well, debating here. Alright, thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with more Pod.
What were you debating?
What clip I'm going to press right now.
Oh, okay. Alright.
I'm looking forward to it.
So quiet.
Wait a minute, what's that you say now? Never ending has ended. Can't you see I need more soup? Can't you see it's what I want? Can't you see I need more bread?
Can't you see?
I'm gonna torch this place. Burn, burn, burn.
Is this your son's favorite bit here?
He laughed. I sent you the video, right?
Yeah.
Of him dying laughing at this.
Garden down. Burn, burn, burn.
Let's see if I can find it. Losing his mind.
Big laughs.
Completely lost it.
People of all ages love that bit. Yep.